It's a real joy to be here with you this morning on this beautiful island. The sun is shining and it's a beautiful day. And what I'd like to do is to bring the warmest of greetings and the love of Jesus Christ to you from my church in Coventry, Lower Ford Street Baptist Church. So we bring our love to you this morning. When Helen asked me to do this, the one thing that she didn't tell me was that I would actually be following Oscar. So maybe we'll see how it goes anyway. But I want to bring a few thoughts to you this morning, really around the two passages that we read. And again, one of the questions I'd like to start off by asking you is, how many of you feel that you would like a fresh start in your Christian lives? You would like really to get something going again? How many of us have made mistakes in our Christian lives? And I'm not, by the way, with these questions, I'm unlike Helen, I'm not going to ask for answers to them, so don't worry about that. How many of us have experienced setbacks? How many of us have experienced failures? There are times, you know, when we allow these mistakes, we allow these setbacks to actually enslave us. And they enslave us to the point where we can't enjoy the full Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. In the verse 10 of that passage in John, it says, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." You might have life more abundantly. But it also tells us in there that there is someone, an adversary, who is trying all the time to steal that abundant life from us. And that's the devil. He seeks to steal, to kill, to destroy. The devil will constantly remind us of our past, of the things that have gone wrong, the mistakes that we've made. And it's all to stop us enjoying the life that God has given us. Because he doesn't want you or any of us to have a fresh start. But the really good news is that God says, "I want you to have a fresh start. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life." And aren't you glad that God wants to do something new in your life? Doesn't it make you excited to know that God desires to give you that new beginning? So what I want to do this morning is actually to look at that new beginning. We're coming up to the time of year where just after Christmas we'll all make what we call New Year resolutions, won't we? And we'll sit there and we'll say, "I am going this year to grow in my relationship with God. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to get more involved in church." And we come out with this long list. But the fact is that how long does that list last? How long do we keep doing things? Well, the good news is, according to the passage in Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Because the Lord is saying to each and every one of us, forget what's happened in the past. Don't think about it. Instead, look at the new things that God is going to do for you in your lives. Listen to what God is saying in this verse. He's more interested in your future than your past. Israel at this time was being punished for their sins and rebellion against God. And God at that time wanted to give them new hope and encouragement to encourage his people. And that's what God wants to do to each and every one of us here today, is actually to give us that encouragement, to encourage us about new life. Maybe that's where you are this morning, that you need to be encouraged, you need to be built up. You may feel that you believe that you've no future with God. But the good news is God is saying, it's not over. I have a plan for your life. I am about to do something new. So when we look at a new start, what I want to do is to pick out three brief points from here. First one is we need to stop making excuses. Secondly, we need to seek him in faith. And thirdly, we need to start trusting in him. So if I want to first, let's look at stop making excuses. If I want a new, fresh start, I have to stop making excuses for the problems, the setbacks, the failures, the issues that I have in my life. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as a victim of my circumstances. There's no doubt that other people can hurt us. Other people can harm us. Other people can scar us. But you know, the person who can truly ruin your life is you. The person who can truly ruin my life is me. We have a choice. We can choose how we respond to all of the things that happen in our lives. The Bible says that the starting point is we need to be honest and accept responsibility for our parts in all of this. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." He gets a fresh start, being honest, facing up to the problems. It's hard to get people to admit when they are wrong, you know. The moment something goes wrong, we automatically take on this very defensive posture. We don't like to admit, "Well, I really made a mistake there. Boy, did I blow it." But God says that if we admit a mistake, if we admit our failures, and if we admit our sin, then we get another chance. We don't prepare ourselves for the problems that come up. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, "A sensible man watches for problems and prepares to meet them. But the fool never looks ahead and suffers the consequences." Question for you. Was it raining when Noah started building the ark? No, it wasn't. He had to prepare for the coming flood. In fact, the rain didn't come for 120 years, because that's how long it took him to build the ark. And you know, because we don't listen to God, because we don't listen to the Bible, we don't listen to good advice when it's offered. And again, in Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go astray, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Get all the advice that we can. But where do we get our main advice from? Where do we get our main counseling from? It's from God's word. It's immersing ourselves in God's word. And sometimes we don't do it through pride. Ego. Ego stands for edging God out. When we think that we know more than God, we push him out of our lives. If we're on an ego trip, that trip will always lead to a dead end. An arrogant attitude leads to a fall. If I don't turn to God's word and listen to what it tells me, I will not succeed. Because very often, you know, in life, failure is the path of least resistance. We stop trying, we give up. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. Very few people make it the first time. We give up very often when success is just around the corner. And the Bible says we need to stop making these excuses. Admit when it's our fault. Get on with life. Get into the Bible. Look at what God's saying to us. Learn from our mistakes. You know, failure can be your friend or your foe. You determine if failure will be your friend or foe by the way that you react to it. You can choose to learn from it and have a start a new life, or you can choose to repeat it. Learn from your past. Learn from what we've done. So we need to stop making excuses. And the second point is we need to seek him in faith. The next part of getting a fresh start is to seek God in faith. Launch into a new territory. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstances, it takes faith in the Lord that he has your best interests at heart, that he has a plan for you, that he is in control, that he is the omnipotent God. If you want to change personally, the Lord wants to change you. If you want to change anything, you need to lean on your faith. Jesus says this in Matthew 9, where he says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Very simple, but very powerful statement. According to your faith, it will be done to you. What are you expecting in life? Are things going to get better or worse? Are they going to be the same? Let's step out and act in faith. Let's take God's word. Let's lean on God. Let's let God guide us. Let's make sure that we don't keep repeating the same mistakes. The faith I'm talking about is not a dead faith. It's an affirmative faith. It's a positive faith. And it's a faith that is totally coupled with the help of God to change your life. We've got to stop having pity parties. I know they're wonderful. I know they're enjoyable to have a pity party. Woe is me and all of that. Poor me, I'm such a victim. Life is unfair. Of course life is unfair. Of course it's unfair. Whoever said it was fair? God does not say that it's fair. God never said that. The world is filled with sin. Because of that, life is unfair. But we have to get on with life. We have to get on with things. We've got to stop regretting our past. We've got to say, I wish that hadn't happened. What we've got to do is actually to look at all of the things that happened to us, accept that God is in control, and accept that God has either caused these things to happen or allowed them to happen. And it's all to teach us. It is all to help us to grow. So the next time something happens that is a little bit like that, well, you ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me in this? God wants me to come out of the other side of this a better person, closer to him, a closer walk with God. So let's learn from these things. Let's look to God to guide us. And let's focus on God's word. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How do we get our delight in the Lord? We meditate day and night. What we mean by meditating on God's word is to read the Bible, to rehearse it, to look through it, to read it again. Thinking it over and over, what does it mean in my life? What is God teaching me in this? What is God telling me in this? Let us listen to what God says to us through his word. Because you know, he wants to talk to us. He wants to guide us. If we want to be talked to, if we want to be guided. Let's have a fresh start and listen to God. The third point I want to pick up is to start trusting God to help us. Links very closely with seeking him in faith. Let's depend upon him. Let's stop depending upon ourselves and let's depend upon the Lord. We don't need to depend upon ourselves. Because we've already proven that we can't do it on our own. I can't do it on my own. There are many things I would like to do, but I can't do them on my own. I can only do them with God by my side. We stumble and we fall. And sometimes we get up and say, I'll just try harder. It's like going up to one of the walls in here and banging your head against it. And the wall doesn't fall down. So you try it again, bang your head against it. All you end up with is a headache because the wall will never fall down. You know, that's the definition of being crazy. Doing the same thing over and over and over. And each time expecting different results. Because you know, if we keep doing the same thing, if we keep doing the things in the way we've always done them, we will keep getting the same results. We can't change who we are. Only God can do that. And here I'm not speaking about the outward person. I'm speaking about the inward person. The inner man, the inner woman. The real person that is hidden in our hearts. You know, success in Christian life, being closer to God, is not about working harder. It's about giving God control of my life. It's about saying, here I am, Lord. Take me, mold me, change me. Take control of me. Zechariah 4:6 says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. When our Lord God sent his son to die on that cross so that he could raise him from the dead as a payment for our sins, and through that death and resurrection, and through his ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father in heaven, the price was paid. All of you here who have made that step of faith and accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you have that assurance of eternal life. You know that the Lord is looking after you. The Lord is next to you, is behind you, is in front of you, totally around you. And if there are some here who have not yet taken that step, I urge you, I pray you not to delay, to accept Jesus as your Saviour. Because when that happens, as all of you who have been through that know, you become a brand new person inside. We sang, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the love of God I stand. You won't be the same anymore. A new life has begun. But we can renew that life. We can go out and we can walk closer with God. We can rely on the Lord more. We can listen to the Lord more. Because God specializes in new beginnings. God specializes in taking us to places that we never thought we could go. We are limited by our own imagination, you know. God is not limited by anything. He can take any of us anywhere that he wants to take us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has the power to do that. Being born again, the chance to start over. Having a fresh start with a new life. I spoke earlier about New Year resolutions. You know, God says, I'm not interested in your New Year resolution. What he says is, I'm interested in your new life resolution. What is your new life resolution going to be? God says, I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. He says, I'm going to give you a whole new life. So the question I have for myself and for everyone here is, do we want that fresh start in life? Do we want to move on from where we are? Do we want to get closer to God? In a way, you know, it's your choice. And what I'd like to do is just to finish with a short story, very short. It was Christmas Eve, 1946. King George VI reigned over Great Britain. They had been bombed. Many were broken and barren of hope of the future. Many who went to fight, as we'll remember next week, never came back. I heard a terrible statistic, you know, that of all of the First World War graves in France and around there, in 80% of them, they don't know who's in them. And we will remember them. And this was the similar thing after the Second World War. That Christmas Eve night, George VI got on the radio to make an address to his nation. These were the last known words he spoke to his nation before his death. He said, I said to the man at the gate of the future, get me a light that I might walk safely into the unknown. He said to me, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, and it will be better than the light and safer than the unknown. So what I say to myself and what I say to us all this morning is, if you look to make a change, if you look to make a fresh start, then what I say is, when we walk out of here, or before we walk out of here, let us all place our hands in the hand of God and say to our Lord, Lord, please lead me where you want me to go. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you are there with us, you are there to guide us, you are there to show us the way. And Father, we thank you that you have a plan for each and every one of our lives. And Father, we just pray now that you will take us through that plan. You will lead us to new things. You will take us into new territory. And that you will help to change us to be the people that you want us to be. So Lord, we thank you for this morning. And we come before you now in Jesus' name. Amen.